before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, and whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So I've entitled the message, Knowing the Terror of the Lord. Knowing the Terror of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go to your word, we pray you'll use it in our lives and change us through its power. And we pray that each of us would open our hearts and hear from you and allow you to do a work that needs to be done. We pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. And we pray that you would guide every aspect of our service. May it be pleasing to thee. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find here this morning is, if you will, motivation to be a witness for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard many people say, oh, you Christians, you just believe that you're supposed to become a Christian or get born again or get saved or whatever they want to call it just to escape hell. And I often say, amen. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so we didn't have to suffer the penalty for our sins. So, you know, you can call it selfish if you want, but most of us, when we got saved, we didn't get saved with motives of, well, I just want to become a really wonderful person. We got saved because we didn't want to go to hell. And that, as Paul is saying here, should be one of the motivations for being a witness for Jesus Christ, is others are going to hell. And they need rescued as well. But I'd like to point out this morning, as we focus on this passage, some reminders as to why God wants us to be excited about telling others about our Savior. And one thing we find in verse 10 is the Bible says we are accountable to God. You know, the day that we got saved, we became His. The Bible says He's our Master. He's our Lord. And we are accountable to Him. Notice it says, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That will happen for every one of us. And we will be held accountable for what we did with the time that He gave us, with the Christian life that He gave us. What did we do with it? Did we waste it? Or did we use it for Him? The choice is ours. God does not force us to serve Him. He gives us a choice. He gives us eternal life. He gives us a home in heaven. He gives us the Holy Ghost. He gives us His Word. But then He leaves it up to us to decide, am I going to serve God or not? And we will be held accountable. Now, if you go back one book to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, God describes this judgment for us. And what we find in this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, down in verse 11, is that the accountability is really, looks like, based more on our motivation than it is on the results. And that's not surprising when it comes to God, because God knows our hearts. Notice it says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, that's an important phrase, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Yes, there will be some Christians that get in by the skin of their teeth, as they say. There will be a big bonfire at this judgment. Our works will be judged by Jesus Christ. He knows our hearts. He knows why we did them. And He's going to judge what sort they were. Were they for selfish motives? Were they for the praise of man? Or were they for God's glory? And we will be held accountable for what we did with what God gave us. You know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Look what God gave us. He gave us everything. He gave us His own presence in the person of the Holy Ghost. He gave us His preserved Word to guide us. He gave us the assurance that heaven's our home no matter what, and that we have a mansion waiting for us. He gave us all of these things. And the Bible says He also gave us His daily leading and guidance. As Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He gave us all of that and then asks us to serve Him. And so I believe one of the motivations for being the witness He wants us to be is that we will be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ, as we see here. Now, the second motivation we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, is we should be motivated by His terror. And I know that's a word that isn't necessarily a pleasant word, especially we hear it on the news all the time. But God said it. Verse 11, He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So what does it mean to be motivated by His terror? Well, as I mentioned earlier, we've been saved from it. We've been saved from the judgment of hell. But the Bible tells us, you know, we hear so much today that God is love, and He is. But God is also a God of judgment, and man will be judged for his sin. And that judgment includes fire. If you would, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, where the Bible even refers to God as a fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Notice what it says. For our God is a consuming fire. And then if you would, go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, where Jesus talks about who we should fear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. If you would turn back there. Notice Jesus says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Think about that. He's saying, don't fear man. Don't even fear the devil. Fear God. Because only God can destroy both soul and body in hell. We should be motivated by the terror of the Lord, knowing that this fire, this judgment, this terror is going to face every lost person that dies without Jesus Christ. And we have within our grasp the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to share with them, which has the power to rescue them from that fate. Knowing the terror of the Lord. You know, there's a verse in Jude, verse 23, it says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Save with fear. We should be afraid of the consequences of our sin. Spending eternity in hell? Jesus talked more about hell than He did heaven. There's a reason for that. He wanted us to understand that we are sinners, that we are condemned to a place called hell, and that He is the solution. And so we should be motivated by that. As Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord. Now, if you would, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the Bible teaches us that is our mission, is to instruct the world on the consequences of their sin and the solution to those consequences, which is Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and notice verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's what we're here to do. Instruct those that oppose themselves. And every unsaved person, that's a description of them. They're opposing themselves. They're basically trying to have their cake and eat it too, aren't they? and basically trying to keep God and accountability to God out of the picture. But they're still going to face God. And so we need to instruct them in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be rescued. Notice it goes on to say, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. If God peradventure, we don't have the power to lead them to repentance. But God does. But they have to hear the gospel first. So we should be motivated not only by our accountability to God, but honestly, the terror of the Lord, knowing that it is a reality that many will face the fire of God and His wrath for their sin. You know, the Bible says, it goes on to say in our passage, it says, for we commend and not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Paul is saying, it's all for God. It doesn't matter. If some of you think that we're crazy, we're okay with that, as long as you hear the gospel. But it's all for God. And let's face it, sometimes the world thinks Christians are crazy. You mean you believe the Bible's literal? You mean the Bible's true? You mean man's only been on the earth for 6,000 years? You mean that God literally created man and woman in the Garden of Eden? You're crazy. Yep, we're crazy. We believe our Creator wrote it down for us and gave it to us, and that's our authority. Not what man says, but what God says. We're crazy. And us crazy people need to tell them the truth. That there is a judgment coming. And that they're not saved, they will face the terror of the Lord. And then notice number 14 of our passage. We should not only be motivated by our accountability and by the terror of the Lord, but also by His love. Notice verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:1 that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And every person you meet on the street, every person that you work with, every person in your family that is not born again, they are dead. And before we got saved, we were dead. Until we were given eternal life by the Lord through salvation, we were dead. And God gave us life. And the Bible says that the love of Christ should constrain us. It should control us. It should motivate us to do something about the fact that people are born dead and can be given life. And Jesus tells us Himself, if you go back to John 14, please, John 14, verse 15, that the way that we demonstrate our love for Jesus Christ is through obedience. We can go to church and sing I love you and say I love you all day long, but according to Jesus, the way to say I love you to Him is by obeying Him. Notice John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's a verse in 1 John that says, this is the love of God, that we obey His commandments. The love that we show to God is what we do. Love is action. You've heard me say that enough times. God so loved the world that He gave. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself. And when we obey God, we are saying through our obedience, God, I love you. You're right. Your word is right. You are my God. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. And I'm showing my love for you by obeying your word. That is how we say I love you. And the love of Christ should constrain us to want to obey Jesus and warn others about the terror of the Lord. Go, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6, where again we see that our love is demonstrated by what we do for God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Notice the Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Your work and labor of love. That's what God asks of us. Work and labor of love. And what is our number one mission? To tell others about Jesus. That's number one. There's a lot of things we need to be doing for God, but our main mission, our main reason for being here is so that we can tell others, just like someone told us and someone told them, and the way it's been going for 2,000 years. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We are here to tell others. And we should be motivated by the fact that we are accountable to God. We should be motivated by the terror of the Lord. But we should also be constrained by the love of Jesus Christ. He has done so much for us in dying on the cross for us, rising again for us, giving us eternal life, blessing us daily with benefits, as the Bible says, He daily loadeth us with benefits. He does all that for us and shows His love for us. And He says in return, we need to show our love for Him by obeying. And that should be a motivation. Then our last verse in our passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." The Bible says that we need to be motivated by His lordship, if you will, or the fact that He's our master. The Bible says that He died for us, He rose again, and that we need to live for Him. Why? Because He owns us now. And God wants us to live for the one that gave all for us. In return, He wants us to give all for Him. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter 9, where Jesus described the discipleship aspect of this. And what He wants from us, honestly, is everything. That's what He wants. He wants all of us. He wants our lives. He wants our goals. He wants our motivations. He wants our affections. He wants it all. But He's not asking for too much, because He gave all for us and gave us everything. Notice Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "He said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Deny himself. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, where again we are reminded who we belong to. We belong to the one which died and rose again for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God owns our body and our spirit. We belong to Him. And one of the motivations for serving Him by witnessing to the lost is the fact that He owns us. Or He is our Lord, He is our Master. That should motivate us. Just like in Old Testament times, you had a master and you had a servant, or a master and a slave. There was a motivation there to obey your master, because he was your master. The difference is, our master is a great master and never makes any mistakes and only wants what's best for us and always treats us perfectly. That wasn't always the case in Old Testament days. But God owns us. And that should be a motivating factor to warn others about the coming judgment. And so what a beautiful truth that Paul revealed to us here in this passage. God wants us to warn others about the coming judgment, and that there is a solution to that judgment in Jesus Christ. And we need to be motivated by the fact that we will answer to God. We are accountable to Him, and we will answer on Judgment Day for what we chose to do with what He gave us. We also need to be motivated by the terror of the Lord. The fact that people that we meet that are unsaved will face that terror forever and ever and ever. Imagine. They just need to hear the truth and they might choose to escape. That's why he's called the Savior, because he saves us from judgment. So we need to be motivated by the fact that we're accountable. We need to be motivated by the terror of the Lord. We need to be constrained by His love. Acknowledge that He loves us and that we love Him through obedience. And we need to be motivated by His Lordship, that He is our Master. And we need to follow Him. As we read, forsake all, Jesus said, take up thy cross daily and follow me. He's worthy. And the lost, Jesus believes, are worthy, or he wouldn't have died for them. The Bible says one soul is worth more than the whole world. So God encourages us to be motivated to tell others, knowing the terror of the Lord. Let's pray.